This is the Don and Mike Show.
Was it sad to be runner-up?
No, it was perfect. I picked her as the winner in the top 24. In the top 24. I said Jordan Sparks is going to win American
Idol. Win.
Why?
Why?
She's so much charisma, just amazing performer, amazing talent. She's beautiful on camera and off camera.
So when Ryan, right before he mentioned the name, you expected it to be her?
Yes. To me, I'm first place at number two.
Why do you favor Rafe?
Larry.
Larry.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Right, right.
It's just a spoiled, pampered, narcissistic Hollywood brat, or what?
You have hair in your special place.
You know that.
It's the B Emmy Award winning Don and Mike Show.
It's all right. It's okay. He's an idiot.
Well, hi, everybody.
Hi there, everybody. All right, let's see. Mike.
Don.
Was in Rolling Thunder this weekend.
I was. It was spectacular.
And that's where all the cycles, everybody knows this, all the motorcycles go, downtown D.C.
Right. Now, I technically was not in the regular parade. I did what they call the Ride of the Wall, and I'm not sure all the details. All I know is the part that I participated in was just about the coolest thing I've ever done, and it was spectacular. I mean, I've only been riding motorcycles for a short period of time, and we got up at the crack of dawn on Sunday. And the whole deal was that we were going to meet at the local Harley dealership, this place called Witt Harley Davidson, where they in my hometown. And there were just motorcycles.
This place called Harley Davidson. Perhaps you've heard of it.
It Witt was the name of the place.
Okay. That's
it. Yeah. And so it was. You know, I had no idea what to expect, and that's why I rode my motorcycle in here on Friday, because I was a little nervous, just because there was going to be...
Practice, right?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't going to do the regular parade. I was going to do the ride downtown, you know, go down there, hang out for a little bit, see what it was all about. And it surprised me, because I really thought that it would be a lot different than it was. And, you know, you watch something from afar, and you see the coverage of it, and you don't
just a
really,
bunch of white trash.
You don't really stop it. You don't really get what it's all about.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
But we get to this dealership, and I see that there are five state police cars that are parked there. And I said, all right, well, this is going to be, we're supposed to have maybe a police escort.
Cool.
But the Virginia State Police, I got to thank them, because they were so cool the way this was done. All the way from Manassas, Virginia, through D.C., all the way down to the district line. I mean, all the way into D.C. We not only were on Route 66, but the police escort didn't just escort us. They stopped people at the exits, and for the entire trip, and this is the 30-mile bike ride, you had Route 66 at about 8 o'clock in the morning with nothing but motorcycles in one lane, two by two. And you could, as far as the eye could see, I couldn't see where the line ended in front of me,
cool.
And I couldn't see in my rearview mirror where the line ended in back of me. Mm-hmm. It was amazing, and you actually had the people on the overpasses as you're going into Washington D.C. Some would be just jammed with people, maybe waving American flags, and there was one where there was one guy in uniform, in dress uniform, saluting all the motorcycles going under. And most of the, I think this started. Originally as being primarily a veterans event, and it still is a veterans event, and you see all the veterans down there, and I didn't track with it. I didn't understand it until I got down there.
Right.
And you realize the people down there are doing this for incredibly patriotic reasons from a variety of political viewpoints, not the least of which, you got some anti-war, you got pro-war, but it doesn't matter down there, because everybody is trying to honor the memory of somebody that was down there.
And you were there with your custom I Love Rosie O'Donnell bike, right?
I was honoring Rosie O'Donnell. Uh-huh. Even though she hasn't passed, I was honoring her memory.
Same bandana.
I get down there, and I think this originally started, the Rolling Thunder was kind of a Vietnam veterans event.
POW MIA.
That's really was for POWs, MIAs.
Right.
And you go down there, and we were down, I forgot the name of it, but it's the row of tents that they have where they've got the food and where they're selling all the motorcycle accessories. And it is, this is, I've been to some motorcycle shows, but this thing was, this is the real deal. And I had the outfit on too. I didn't know, I wasn't wearing leather chaps or anything, but what I did wear, because you don't want to get hit by a bug or anything, and you want to wear like a short sleeve T-shirt, but you don't want, you know, you want to have some sort of protection on there. So I've got the traditional leather vest and of course no pants on.
Hold on, was it the same leather vest that you rode in on Friday with?
Yeah, it's the same one I had.
And did you have the same problem that you had with that on the road?
No.
Did you say that on the air on Friday?
I don't know if I did. That it burst open as soon as I hit speed. As soon as I went up to 60 miles an hour, the wind caught the vest and it flew open behind me. No, I unzipped my little wind flaps on the side of it so that the stomach, my omentum, was not pressing up against the vest.
So your momentum.
My momentum was actually was under control.
And Rob, I think you're writing this as a joke, but I believe it's true. Mike's Iraqi built motorcycle.
Now you've made him spit his water.
You boys are on today. I will tell you that. Yeah, it's my Iraqi motorcycle that I have.
Not a joke. Yeah. Fact.
A lot of people don't realize that, you know, before the overthrow of Saddam Hussein, that you know, they were motorcycle capital of the Middle East.
He made a mean bike, didn't he?
Just incredible choppers.
Iraqi chopper.
It was an Iraqi chopper
with Saddam.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Actually, Don, give it the proper name. It's Middle East choppers. That's really what it was called.
Didn't Saddam like have his boys too, like Paul Jr.?
Yeah, mine was specifically hand built by Uday, which I was happy about that.
Usay's the artist.
Usay was, you know, he's the computer guy, but Uday got his hands dirty, you know.
Now time for Middle Eastern chopper with Papa Saddam, Uday, and who else?
Uday and Usay.
Uday and Usay.
Every time I see your Iraqi cycle, I say, now that's a classic. That is a classic.
This I have never seen more motorcycles. I have never seen more interesting people. I've never seen more guys that I knew, you know. No, even though they're 30 years older than me, they could kick my ass. Wow. These guys, it was just, you know, the type of people that, at one point I said to a buddy of mine, I said, you know, if you just screamed at the top of your lungs right now and you just went, "You guys are all pussies!"
No one would hear you, right?
It would be like suicide. But
no one would hear you.
They wouldn't hear me.
With all the motorcycles?
Well,
right.
There was just the nonstop drone of motorcycles. But I decided that I'd get my patches. And the cool thing about when you do the biking thing, you know, you always see these people, they have patches all over the country and all the functions they've been in. And you can go down and you can buy like memorial patches. I got a World War II memorial patch for my father, and I got a 9/11 memorial patch, and then I got a little Rolling Thunder patch. And you buy the patches there, and there are these women that are right there that sew them on.
Wow.
Right as you're waiting in the hot tent to get
the wenches.
Stuff. And there were every kind of, you could put every insult to every group of every ethnic group, and
you're seamstress.
They said anything on these patches. You know, they said, I should have probably collected some. Next time I do this, I'll collect some of the real bad ones. But they were incredible. And then grabbed a little bite to eat. And I've always said this, that I will say this to my daughters regarding tattoos and women.
All right,
guys, it might be a little different thing. I think there might be a little double standard as far as tattoos. But one of the things, and I know a lot of fathers say this to daughters, they said, listen, you're going to get a tattoo now, but someday that tattoo is not going to look that good. And I found the poster woman for this.
Okay.
This is a woman who had a full sleeve on one arm, a full sleeve on the other. She had like the dragon tail going down her back, and she had just two sleeves. It looked like she head to toe. And this woman, if she was 70, she was 80. She was between 70 and 80 years old.
She was wearing
shorts that.
What do you do with an elderly woman?
May have been appropriate for her back seriously in 1971. I think those shorts might have been appropriate back then.
Hot as balls.
We saw this lady from a mile away, and because everybody was trying to be low-key about it, but you're looking at her, and her her tattoos, especially around the knee area. The tattoos looked as though, you know, they folded into some grotesque little cartoon. And it was just, all I was saying that, you know, I mean, a little tattoo, look, and I know it's a double standard, and I know this will come across as sounding sexist, but you get grandpa, right? He goes to, he fights in the war, and he gets his little anchor tattoo, and by the time he's 80 years old, you know, it's this faded little thing, but you know, that's when he got drunk in some want-a-hump-hump bar and, you know, overseas somewhere.
Right. Yeah.
This bird was walking along, and it's beyond heinous. She looked like something out of a Freddy Krueger movie. It was horrible. I was fascinated. He couldn't stop staring at her. And she had shorts that were, you know, like the crotch shorts.
Sounds,
you know?
Sexy.
Little,
man.
Daisy Dukes. Way it was, but the thing.
And you say she was 70 or 80.
She was somewhere between, you know, but you know what? As my buddy Pete pointed out to me, you know, really, if you consider hard living, that could have very easily turned into late 50s.
Really?
If it's been hard living that has been a result of that, and you see a lot of hard living. You see a lot of people that are down there that you say, man, that guy looks like he's 80 years old, and then you realize, no, he's probably like 10 years older than I am.
I saw a lot of motorcycles on the Beltway here in D.C. this weekend. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they were everywhere. They stopped traffic not only where you were, but just about everywhere.
The Virginia State Police were so cooperative for this. And on a serious note, what I will say is you realize this is a patriotic exercise, and it really, really is. And when you see the guy saluting that was on the bridge, it was just it was cool. You realize why it really was the spirit of the weekend, and it was we had a blast.
I noticed more than one person who appeared to be intimidated. You know, when you drive by and they would shut down the Beltway, the four lanes, they shut it down to one lane for cars and three lanes for the motorcycles. You drive by and you'd see the guys who've got the rigs, and you know, they've been riding these things their whole freaking life.
Right.
And then there would be the occasional yuppie who just went and bought himself the biggest, brand newest, shiniest candy apple red motorcycle he could find, and
tons of them for this event. You've got rookie riders because this is the reason that they went out and learned how to ride a motorcycle for Rolling Thunder. That's why they did it. It's very, very, and that's not what you want to do your first time on a bike.
We almost turned it like into the dumb license plate game when you're a kid, because our traffic, the motorcycles were going about 35 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
The cars were going about 15 miles an hour. So we had time to study every motorcycle as it went by, like 20 minutes worth of motorcycles. Mm-hmm. And you could catch the guy that had the brand new one.
Right.
And there was one guy that had it. It was so new. I mean, it had to be just off the showroom floor. Mm-hmm. And he had the jacket with the big, like, Easy Rider fringe on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where the guy, when he drove by, it was just, he stood out like a sore thumb.
Right.
And I guess you've answered my questions that there are a lot of guys
that,
right?
Rookie riders down there. You see people that know how to ride, and you see people that don't know how to ride. And I didn't participate in the parade itself, which is about, I guess, 3 hours or 4 hours of nonstop slow riding on your motorcycle. I did the ride to the wall that, you know, where we went into downtown, and we were going, we got up to about 60, 65 miles an hour at one point, and it was fantastic. It was really, you know, when you're surprised by an event where
cool
you say,
beams.
Hey, it's going to be neat, but it was just so cool to be a part of that. I loved it. And I'll do it again. It was great.
Hey, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
I have some information on how Rolling Thunder began.
Okay.
Rolling Thunder began, the real Rolling Thunder began a long time ago, but it's technically been going on for 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and it was reserved for Vietnam veterans
who
had received particular awards and had served at least a tour in Vietnam,
and it
was to honor the POWs and MIA.
Right, yep, okay.
And I was in Fairfax, and it was phenomenal. You're right. It's the most patriotic thing in the world.
You know, there's one, thank you for that. And there's one down there. They had, I guess they call them Hueys or whatever the helicopter was,
mm-hmm.
a full helicopter they brought in with a machine gun. And I didn't want to get my picture taken down there. You see people, you know, jumping behind the machine gun, and it just seemed to me not to be the appropriate thing to do.
Rat-a-tat-tat!
You know, it's like they had the whole thing set up, maybe it was for a good cause, I'm not sure, but they put the helmet on and just like, let's get inside the helicopter, come on now.
Nah, you should have taken a picture of the tattooed woman.
Oh, I should have. I wish I had my camera. I would have. But you know what? Now that I got the real patch, like I was there, you know, I did this thing, that's the whole you realize that the whole legitimacy of like riding bikes is if you're going to wear something, you put a patch on it. It's usually to commemorate the fact that you were at a certain location.
I was there.
Like you've been to Daytona, like Bike Week or anything.
Sure, yeah.
And you know, it's just a very cool experience. And now that you got a couple of these things, you feel just not as legit as some of the guys. You saw some of the guys down there that literally the motorcycle's an extension of their body.
No, there's guys.
And then you see the tricycles that I'm not a big fan of the trikes. I don't like the trikes. I don't like the trikes.
There was three types. And we picked them out. There were the Tuttles, we called them. Those are the professional guys, the guys that look like they could ride the things.
Right.
And really, there was one guy.
There are a lot of Tuttles down there.
There was one guy, seriously, that had a sound system on his motorcycle, loud as hell, mm-hmm. and he was BlackBerrying or texting somebody while he's driving this thing with, like, one hand.
There are so many guys that are, like, confident, so even waving at people, and I started waving at people that were waving from the bridges. You know, like you take your hand off that, but you just go back to it. Great, and there are guys that could just ride along with both hands off the handlebars.
So we had the three types, and I guess we were correct. The first was what we called a Tuttle, someone who knew what they were doing.
Yeah, 100%. Lots of Tuttles. They were thick with Tuttles when I was down there.
Then there was what we called the O'Mara,
mm-hmm.
the guy that was into it, but maybe was a little tentative around the guys with the huge ones.
Right.
And then the guys that we just called. Speak. Johnny A-hole. And that's like the guy I said to Jan, I said, oh my God, this guy looks like Peter Fonda in Easy Rider. Seriously.
And clean shaven, you know.
And he had on, and it was hot as hell.
And you got to be a little grungy when you're doing this. I mean, if you're not grungy, you're not you're not doing the biker thing.
You know that suede jacket I'm talking about?
Yeah, with the fringe.
With the Davy Crockett fringe.
Right. And even when I first started riding, I noticed these people, the people that are head to toe, that have the leather chaps all the way, you know, just head to toe in the perfect, nice, brand new leather.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't dig that. But I do it again, and you do get the whole feel for what it is to be around here on Memorial Day. And I will never forget the going under this and seeing the one guy that was in uniform. And I guess he was standing at attention for the entire time that all the bikes were going underneath him. And it was very, very cool thing. Very, very cool.
Yep, one more call. We got to hit a break. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Mike, did the tattoo in the middle look just like Willie Nelson?
You know, I'll tell you, the shorts she was wearing, you almost had a little Willie Nelson factor there. And I was eating chicken at the time, too. Mm. Yeah,
Stinky McStink face!
Almost couldn't keep it down.
Well, hold on. Got a break.
With a younger man, too, I think.
You're about to.
Sure.
She was with a Tuttle. She was with Paul Jr., I think.
How old do you think the guy with, if you, now hold on, because you have.
He was in better shape than she was. That's the only thing I'm going
to
say.
You have kind of, you gone soggy on her
50
age.
To 80.
She's at least 50
she's not
to 80.
80. Nowhere near 80.
All right.
Nowhere, if she was 80, it's a miracle.
You are vacillating
if it's,
on that.
80,
so
if she was 80, then I give her a tremendous amount of credit.
So let's say she was in her 50s.
Yeah, late 50s.
Okay, 60s.
Maybe late to.
65.
At the tops, probably 65.
How old was her man?
He looked to be about my age, late 40s.
Uh-huh.
What the hell's he doing there?
I think you know.
I think she might have been a friend of the band, if you know what I mean. She knew.
Okay.
She knew the guys in the band.
Uh-huh.
There's no doubt about it.
Do it float?
That was the high point of my weekend. Other than that, I was in bed most of the weekend, and took a little brief time to lose $50 to Danny the Korean dry cleaner. Other than that, that's the new guy that takes my money on the golf course.
Oh, a guy you played golf against. Okay.
You lose a candy.
He didn't ask to have his picture taken with you, though, did
he? No, he didn't. No. Too busy taking my money.
I am Sam.
Mm-hmm. He does not speak like that.
Sam Ng.
It's a golf.
Sam Ng.
That's what he'll say if somebody hits a bad shot. It's a golf.
Oh, I know. When we come back, we got that internet thing, right, John? Yeah? Johnny?
Yes.
Yes. The reason that God invented the internet. The reason Al Gore invented the internet.
Really?
When we come back.
Oh, good.
You know, it's just a never mind.
Bidu.
Yeah.
This is the Don and Mike Show.